In Jesus' mighty name. We ask, O God, that it might please you to look down from heaven. Look upon us with kindness tonight and release your grace to bless your people. In the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. God bless. In fact, somewhere on a missionary journey, I missed Makodi. I just missed the whole place. I said, God, hallelujah. While we were in Ghana, the demon spoke through someone and they said, we don't want you here. Then I missed home. I missed home that time. God, demons don't want me there. And I know where they want me. They want me in Benue. They want me in Makodi. But we did not yield to the will of demons. But we are back. We give God the glory in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 7, verse number 1. Okay, let's begin from verse number 2. And he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran. And he said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and come into the land which I will show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein he now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not as much as to set his foot on, yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and there should bring him into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. And the nation whom there shall be in bondage will I judge, saith God. And after that shall he come forth and serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him on the eighth day. And Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs moved him be sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him. Exodus chapter 6. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Jacob into Egypt. But God was with him. Exodus chapter 6. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now thou shalt see what I would do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall I let him go, shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. I am Jehovah. I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah, I was not known unto them. Now, in this scripture, God was trying to acquaint himself with Moses. And he came to Moses with a very boisterous introduction. He introduced himself as Jehovah. I am Jehovah. And when he said that, he also brought about some form of education and told Abraham, he told Moses that I appeared unto your father, Abraham. I appeared unto your ancestor, Isaac. I appeared unto your ancestor, Jacob, by another identity. Even though that I am Jehovah, it was by my revelation as the El Shaddai that I appeared unto them. You see, the identity of God that you can capture is dependent on how God decides to appear unto you. Every appearance of God is a revelation of part of his identity. He decided to restrict the way he appeared to the ancestors of Moses in so much that his appearance was after the order of the El Shaddai. And it took him 3 generations to establish that heritage in the house of Israel. It took the generation of Abraham. It took the generation of Isaac. It took the generation of Jacob to institutionalize his appearing after the order of the dimension of El Shaddai. And now, because of the prevailing circumstances and the covenants that he had with their ancestors, he was compelled to appear after a different identity. Hence, the introduction that he was making to Moses. You might have walked with God for a very long time and you begin to think that you know God, then God just shows up and introduces himself afresh. He says, I'm beginning another operating system now. There is a new software I want to begin to run. The one I've been running for the past 1,000 years, this is the meaning. But I want to switch gear. And you will need to be inducted afresh. You will need to be adopted into an educational system that is going to open your capacities and it will cause you to exercise your faith concerning me, with me, as touching me, with reference to a new identity by which I decide to appear unto you. Is it God, if at any point in time you know everything about God, is no longer God? Even if you have all, we will have all of eternity, and you will find it is insufficient to explore God sufficiently, because God operated outside of eternity before he created eternity and decided to operate within that frame of reference so that it could be understood. But he is more than eternity. He is bigger than eternity. And all of eternity is not sufficient for us to fully explore him. The point is this, the workings of God and the dimensions of God that you are going to be fully acquainted with is the dimensions that God decides to appear with you, appear unto you by. I appeared unto your ancestor Abraham by the identity of what? El Shaddai. You will think that one appearance in one generation is sufficient to capture just one side. It took 3 generations to capture just one side. So it is now established in the heritage of the people of Israel that we have a God that is El Shaddai. Because there were 3 solid generations of consistent appearances that God made after that order that established that heritage over the house of Israel. And now God was willing to step up higher and to bring another dimension of his reality to bear with the same people, in keeping with the covenants that he has with their ancestors. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. In a moment of time, we will need to do a study to find out how El Shaddai. What's the meaning of El Shaddai? I think I've taught you about this before. El Shaddai means, number one, what? The multi-breasted one, the ones that can sustain and supply. Yes, another meaning of El Shaddai is what? Yes, it is from the multi-breasted portrait of the all-sufficient God that sustains all and is sustained by none that you got that second definition. The second definition is equivalent to the first definition. The El Shaddai also means the strong. The strong. There is no circumstance, no situation that can prove him weak. It's the strong. Oh, most of you have heard tales of warriors, and when they become old and sick, you begin to see them weak. People that were valiant before. Political champions. And then if you have privilege to look, see them when the sun has set on them, you will see that even though he was strong at the time, he's like a vegetable now. But the El Shaddai is the strong. He is the strong. You will be on a journey of futility if you want to contend with the El Shaddai. And that was why Jesus, when he appeared to Paul on his way, Saul on his way to Damascus, he gave him a parable. He says, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard to kick against the barbed wire. It is hard. It is hard. What we set up in eternity, you cannot undo in time. It is hard. Every attempt you make to undo it will injure yourself because you are striking against the barbed wire. He's the strong. It was when Paul received that education that he bowed down and said, okay, this journey is in futility. The strength of the flesh can achieve nothing. And he now addressed Jesus as Lord. That was the reason why he didn't die. Who art thou, Lord? That non-believer had acknowledged he is Lord. Then the issue, the way it was negotiated was different. If he had said, down for over, he would have gone down. he saw the Lordship. He saw his majesty in that appearance. He said, I'm small. The moment he acknowledged that he was small, the matter was negotiated with peace. Say, go to Damascus. The same place you are going to destroy, I have raised a savior there for you. I don't need to appear myself. There are saviors within the land. Go there. You will be told what you must do. Hey! So Jesus was trying to tell him that your rank is small. If I speak to you directly, you will fry up. I have people that can manage people at your level. They are in Damascus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, we are going to see how God appeared unto Abraham as El Shaddai. We'll see how God appeared unto Isaac as El Shaddai. We'll see how God appeared unto Jacob as El Shaddai. There are actually four portraits of the manifestation of El Shaddai, even though in this particular scripture we see three, but I want to show you four. And in these four portraits, every travail of humans is captured under these four subheadings. So it means that the operating system of El Shaddai can manage your crisis, can manage your trouble, can manage the challenge you have been battling with in 5 years, in 17 years. If only you understand El Shaddai, through the window of his dealings with four men, you will know that your case is too easy for God to handle. If you are still here, say amen. Amen. First of all, let's talk about Abraham a bit. Because what the El Shaddai, are you with me? You will never know the power of the El Shaddai under normal circumstances. It is under abnormal circumstances that you are going to see the strong. And part of the abnormal circumstances that Abraham had to contend with was a terrible situation of barrenness that his wife was afflicted with. I tried to do a little history of the time of Abraham. I found a lot about Abraham, which is probably not for this meeting this evening, but I found so much about him. As at the time that Abraham was called, there were only 70 languages upon the face of the earth. 69 of the tribes had teamed up with the devil through the rise of Nimrod. And God called Abraham from the heart of idolatry. So God had one. Satan had 69. You can verify this, my number of tongues, from the book of Genesis chapter 10. Go and count. You will find that there were 69 tribes apart from the Hebrews. The Hebrews became the tribe that evolved from Abraham. If you read Jewish books and Jewish texts and Jewish history, you know, I hope you know Jewish history is not the Bible. I'm just telling you history. Okay, you're not interested in my history, so hallelujah. We'll keep my history down and attend to the matter. So Satan had 69 tribes on the earth, and God had just one tribe to work with, the Hebrews. Hallelujah. And the story of how God dealt with this tribe, the story of how God worked out dominion from one tribe, even though they were outnumbered, they were outgunned, they were just too no match to the other tribes that had sold out, given themselves to Satan. The way God worked with them is a mystery. And you will need to see the beauty of how God manifests his all sufficiency in a very, very, very impossible context of insufficiency. You need to read the book of Genesis and see how God works it out. Part of what God did was that he called Abraham from the heart of idolatry. And the God that Abraham was worshipping, it was called Sin, S-I-N. That was the fertility god of the Chaldeans, fertility god of Mesopotamia. And when Abraham left the service of that god, part of the feedback that Abraham sustained because he left the worship of that god was the barrenness of Sarah. Because the god was a fertility god that was worshipped to make women fruitful, to make the soil to bring forth bountifully, it was clear that it was Abraham's violation of that deity that was responsible for the barrenness of his wife. So if Jehovah says that he is strong, one of the first ways for him to manifest his strength will be to undo the barrenness that is a direct assault from the deity that they despise. Hallelujah. We have a prophetic account of how Abraham survived the issue of barrenness, having submitted to the El Shaddai, in the book of Romans chapter 4, verse 17 to 21. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Abraham was a strange man. But this is not the time to talk about Abraham. He's a strange man. I challenge you to study him. The Bible says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him who he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. Now this man, even Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is giving us an insight into the personality of the God that Abraham believed. According to Paul, the God that Abraham believed was him that quickens the dead. That's number one. And he calls those things that be not as though they were. So this God of Abraham happens to be a God that of God of life. He can give life to that which is dead, and he can call forth or create by his authority that which is not existing. You are not with me? Oh my. Okay, since you are not with me, we'll cut this lecture. The day you are hungry, I went somewhere, they were hungry. I said, Jesus, you want God? Oh. And the scriptures, they were like as sweet as honey. When I come home after a pilgrimage, my people are tired of the word of God. They are tired. So, you see, I was tempted. And the temptation came from Ghanaians. They said they are going to buy a house, a small house for me in Accra, and arrange how I can be relocated. When I go back, if they tempt me again, I will fall. I will fall to the test. I'm seriously looking for boarding schools to put my children. So me and my wife, we can fall to the temptation. We'll be talking to you through Zoom like this. Hallelujah. Since I left, you have not been laughing. See your face. So I'm back. Hallelujah. Paul called our God the God that raises the dead. Why? Is that his only ability? The God that can bring that which has died back to life, and the God that can create that which does not exist and bring it forth. You know why Paul revealed these two capacities of God while dealing with Abraham? This was the revelation of the El Shaddai that God gave to Abraham. This was how God introduced himself to Abraham. The God that does what? That raises the dead. Whereas, the most terrible situation for a human being is death. When God came to introduce himself to Abraham, he said, okay, I begin where you stop. I am the God that raises existing things that are dead. I raise them. I give life. And if the things are not existing, I have the authority to call them into being and make them exist. You see, faith has a logic behind it. The logic of faith comes when God speaks to you. Faith doesn't come because you read the Bible. Faith comes because you hear the voice of God. You know, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by what? You got it wrong. It's by the voice. Faith doesn't come because you read. Huh? If you take the Bible, Word of God, and you are reading it, that's not how faith comes. When you are reading the Bible and the Holy Spirit now decides to crystallize life by making a commitment which is personal in the privacy of your spirit man and decides to speak, that's when faith is born. Faith is not something that is not deliberate. Faith is a deliberate thing that is occasioned by the speaking of God, not by the reading, but by the voice of God. That's how faith is born. So in order for Abraham to begin his journey of faith, God had to reveal to him his capacity. The God that raises the dead, the God that calls those things that be not, as though there were a different line of logic was formed in the heart of Abraham on the strength of this introduction. So Abraham was already seeing a line of possibility that the natural person that has not had the encounter that he had with God will never see. God that raises the dead. And every time God came to Abraham, that was how he introduced himself to Abraham. I am the God that raises the dead. I am the God that has the capacity to call those things that are not existing. I can bring them forth by my authority. And then Abraham looks at his wife. He says, okay, barrenness, no child is existing. And God has authority to call forth that which is not existing and make it exist. And that was why he bowed his head to the El Shaddai. My question to you today is, when last did God introduce himself to you? He said he appeared unto our ancestors by a certain identity. Every time he came, he was deliberate about how he appeared. He came as the El Shaddai, the one that is strong. And El Shaddai, by reason of the fact that he is the God that caused those things that be not as though they were, obviously presented himself stronger than barrenness. Obviously presented himself stronger than death. And these were the two things that you'll be threatened by if you break covenant with that fertility god or goddess in the land of Mesopotamia. You could either be threatened by death or you'll be threatened by barrenness. And this God can call those things, he can quicken that which is dead, which is one of the threats of. And he can also call those things that be not as though they were. Are you there? Right, next one. Next verse. Are you there with me? Where is the technical man? Gone to sleep. Who against hope? Because it was not logical to begin to believe that barrenness could be reversed, even when menopause has set in. But the reason why it was easy for him to believe was because there was another ground of logic. Another ground of logic that was predicated by the introduction of God. So even though it was not scientifically logical for you to still be hoping to have a child, Abraham, against hope, he believed in hope because it was his destiny to be the father of many nations. So the faith test was a hurdle that Abraham was going to have to pass in order for him to wear the identity as the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Next verse. Because of this wonderful introduction that God gave him, the Bible says he eventually was no longer weak in faith. And then his not being weak in faith was defined. He did not consider his own body that was dead. Why? Because, see, this my class is dull. It's a dull class. I chose this scripture. Many scriptures would have used. I chose this, the simplest one. This is simple. Of all the scriptures to use on this subject, this is the simplest scripture. And it's difficult. If we had gone to the book of Revelation to talk about the faith and the patience of the saints, to say the same thing, you say, people don't understand the book of Revelation. Why are you going there? I now came to Romans now. There's a problem. The Bible says he, after the introduction and after the inoculation he received by the appearing of the Lord and the encounters that he received, he was no longer weak in faith. That was the first result. He did not consider his own body that was dead because God had introduced himself to him as he that quickens the dead. So his dead body was no longer a factor. If you had taken Abraham for a fertility test, you won't see any spermatozoa swimming in the pool. It had died. He was sterile now. He had no life. The only life he had was the one that was in his nostrils. And if that one ends, it is gone. But he believed in the God that has the capacity to raise the dead. And he considered not in the journey of the new logic that he got because of the encounter he had with God, it was no longer an issue if his body was there. At the time we are talking, he was what? About 100 years old. And he no longer considered the deadness of Sarah's womb. Because when Jehovah came, he introduced himself to him as the God that raises the dead. It is only the strong. It is only that which is stronger than death that is strong. If it's not stronger than death and it can rise and then in the evening it will die and become weak and pass away, it is not strong enough for you to rely upon. So only that which is stronger than death is strong. And that is the meaning of El Shaddai, the strong. And there were two contexts of death that must be defeated in order for his identity in the life of Abraham to be adequately registered. The deadness of his own body and the deadness that was in his wife's womb. Even God that raises the dead and God that calleth those things as be not, that be not, as though they were. I have a friend, this friend of mine happens to be an academic doctor in the field of quantity surveying in Ahmad Bello University, Zaria. So we wanted to build a building. And because this, my friend, happens to be a PhD holder, very intelligent woman, my wife's friend, I sent her the drawings and I asked her to quantify how much will it take to build this structure. It took about 1 month and she gave me a very concise feedback down to the number of nails that I needed, the number of plywood that will be used, the ones that will waste, the ones that will be on the building. Every strand of material that will be used was itemized. The breakdown was impossible. And when I saw the aggregate in terms of Naira and Kobo, it was 100 and something million. That was how the project ended. I pushed it. 100. Oh my God. Now, you see, your level of faith is dependent on a certain logic. And what informs that logic is encounter. It's the way God decides to appear to you. That is what informs the logic that can commence your pilgrimage in the walk of faith. The quantity surveyor did a very wonderful job. But what the report did to me was that it killed every faith that was in my spirit. I threw it and I forgot about the building. Hallelujah. And when God wanted to build that building, he didn't make reference to that survey report anymore. He appeared to me. Are you with me? He appeared to me. And then the logic that he brought when he appeared to me was that, have I considered that he built this entire physical framework of existence in 6 days? 6 days, yes. He built Urukum, he built Otukpo, he built Boku, he built Kasinala, built Accra, built Ho. Build vote. 6 days. May the Lord give you insight. Okay. A new logic. This is the fearful man that saw figures and he went crippled. A new logic began to form. The God that built in 6 days. And this project that God did in 6 days
He did not begin with money. That means God started broke. He was broke when he started. God was broke. It was not with money he started, but he completed the assignment. So God now told me, it's not about what you have. It's about what I have. So the man, defeated man, started believing. A new set of logic began to come. And Satan will be on standby to tell you that you are foolish. That you are the most foolish one. Faith itself is warfare. It's about ignoring what Satan is saying. And Satan will be speaking the truth through circumstances and situations. But if you lose the revelation that is appearing to you, you'll be defeated. So I stepped out. The moment I stepped out, the money I saved, 9 million, that was when a strange president came into power in Nigeria. And $1 became 500. All the money I saved was like leather bag. It went down the drain and the building did not come out of the ground. Then my faith died again. Then the Lord came and said, "Is it this?" The Lord built the heavens and the earth and he rested. I stood up again. I know how many times I fell from faith. It was 21 times. 21. Yeah. I'll be strong in faith now. And then something will happen. The faith will go flat. I'll go back. He will still say, 6 days the Lord created. Then I now got the lesson. That circumstances are not true. What is true is God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we decked the ground floor. And I stood on the ground floor. And I told Satan, "Satan, are you seeing? This is real. This is not in the spirit realm. This is real." We decked the first floor. I stood there. I said, "Satan, are you seeing? You were very loud. Where are you now?" And I saw that even Satan had to run backward when the revelation began to grow. God allowed my account savings to go down the drain by the manipulation that took place in our economy to make me understand that saving is good, but God is better. Oh my God. And it came to pass. I just came back. Where did I go? I came back from a missionary trip and they had fixed the last floor. And I stood on it and I said, "Satan, you don't exist." The feet had grown. And you see, the logic by which I forged ahead was according to how God decided to appear unto me. He came as the creator that finished the work of the heavens and the earth in 6 days. How will he not build 24 classes? You are dying on 24 classes. I have built the entire universe in 6 days. Is it 24 classes or 34 classes? Or something like that. And when I passed that test, then we began to see the visions of the embassy. Guess what? I didn't make the mistake of sending it to the Pontius of Aveo anymore. Because I would have needed drip. Do not despise the way the Lord appears to you. In the name of Jesus. How did he appear to Abraham? As the one that quickens the dead. As the one that calleth those things that be not as though they were. And he kept coming. He kept coming. He kept coming. He kept coming until Abraham did not consider the deadness of his own body. Neither did he consider what? The deadness of Sarah's. We're not told how many times he fell from faith. Me is 21. Went to. I saved money. I had $2,000. I went to First Bank here. They said they don't have dollar. They called Boko. Boko said, "Okay, they have 1.5.
Then they called Modern Market. Modern Market said they have 500. So we went to Modern Market, took 500, traveled to Boko, got 1.5. When the person finished counting the money to give me, say, what are you going to use this money to do? I almost bound the person in chains. That was the entire money in First Bank, Benue State. $2,000 was the entire dollars in First Bank, Benue State. You know, we came back. It's all right. When we went and changed it, the money that came out, because I was using our Abuja rate, they said, this is not Abuja, this is the local exchange. That one too went. When we bought iron, that money finished. Then I began to find out how God created the world. And he started broke. So he will wait for you to be broke first before he begins to speak. When we got the lesson, we didn't make the mistakes we made in the school at the embassy. You will know him the way he appears unto you. Today he will appear unto you. Amen. Lord that quickens the dead. Yes, next verse. Next verse. Next verse. The Bible says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was what? Why was he strong in faith? It's because he met the strong. If you meet the strong, you will become strong. So the El Shaddai is the strong, that in the midst of the perplexities of natural situation, there is he who is the strong. And the strong made him strong in faith, and he did not stagger at the promise of God. A time came when he did not stagger. When it was natural for him not to stagger. Because that which God had appeared unto him about, he had received it, he was operating by it. And even though there were evidences for him to doubt, the Bible says he did not stagger at the promises of God, but was strong in faith, giving glory. And when the devil sees you like this, he's not happy. Sees you strong in faith. When last did you give glory? Oh my God. Glory to God. I don't want to share many testimonies because strong in faith. Giving glory to God. I was traveling to a certain country. The only thing I carried was one trouser, one shoe, one shirt, my jacket. My box was old. Hallelujah. That's how I reached it. You can't go like that if God has not appeared to you. If God has not appeared to you, you can't go like that. You can't go like that. When I came, they wanted to check my bag in. The bag was not enough to. The bag was supposed to be carry on luggage. The one you just carry on, you hang up. Huh? I said, check it. Check it. The people say, you can't. I said, check it inside. Hallelujah. Then, with that bag absent, all I had was what I carried with my Bible. I said, God has not appeared to you. Don't go like that. Carry your ATM card. MasterCard. The MasterCard. Not buy because it won't work. Carry Master. Carry this. Even carry your wife's own. Join it. But you see, God had appeared. I was preaching in Ghana. And I was worshiping God. And I felt in my spirit that in order for this worship to be perfected, I should lie down on the altar. I went down straight. As I went down, I was speaking in tongues. And when I raised my head, I saw a ball of light like this. And it was coming close to me. I said, what is this?
When he came to me, he entered into my body. I said, what is this? He said, oh, this is my glory. It's going ahead of you to the United Kingdom. I said, eh. So, because he appeared, I went without, no, just a bag. Hallelujah. Jesus. And from that airport, when I was coming back, we had to cargo some goods on ship. It's still on the ship. It's coming. How did I go there? If God has not appeared unto you, you can't do some things. You can't do some things. You will just... No money. Just one bag. And the bag too. Somebody came, brought another one. So we threw that one away. It means it was not so relevant like that. But we had to employ cargo services too. The God that called those things that be known. You is your salary. You are waiting for your salary. Government, you say government is owing us. Every day they are calculating. That money doesn't exist. Wake up. When you know that God started the project of creation broke, in your broke state, you will look. Just let him appear. Let him appear unto you. Let him appear unto you. Let him appear unto you. Oh my God. Let him appear. He came to pass. Still on that tree, people were sitting like this, and I decided to pass in their middle, like this. And he appeared unto them. Hallelujah. We have cargo. It's on the ship. So if there is a way you will know God, what people call lack, is a thing of the mind. If you have met with God, you will know that your sufficiency is in your security in Him. That's what your sufficiency is. The Bible says He staggered not at the promise through unbelief, but He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Sorry, we don't have time. This is just Abraham. I was supposed to take you through Isaac. Because Abraham's case, God had to show him something stronger than death. Stronger than the deadness of his wife's womb, the deadness of his own body. And that was how, the moment he caught it, the situations began to change. And the deadness of his wife's womb was defeated. The deadness of his body was defeated. And indeed, in the life of Abraham, God proved that he was this strong. Now, I came to tell you tonight that God has an intention to prove to you that he is this strong. This strong. So the point is this. What is that strong thing that has kept you in a perpetual state of defeat? What you need is an appearance. An appearance. You must have heard the story of Archbishop Pius Degi. He was in a canoe on the river, Kasinala, trying to cross. And all he had in his pocket was 5 naira. And the Lord appeared unto him. From that river he crossed, he was on his way to the United States of America. And when he landed the United States, all he still had was 5 naira. My question is, did he appear to you? Because he appeared to our fathers. Appear to you tonight. He arrived the U.S. and he looked into, put his hand into his pocket. It's 5 naira gave. So it means what he needed to go to the U.S. was not in his pocket, but it was available. If the strength of what you possess is what is in your pocket, you are poor. Because your pocket is small.
Kamina Suriya.
What do you see? Do you see the El Shaddai? Has he appeared to you? Oh. Oh. We wanted to hold a meeting somewhere. And some of the our people that were around, we went there to inspect the hall. Very fine, very wonderful. And I was telling the head of the ushers. I said, you know what to do when there is power. And I was talking so calmly. There will be power tomorrow. You know what to do when there's power. Say, yes, we know. The second day, there was power. I saw you know, when she came with high heel like this. Okay. When God began to move, I don't know where she threw the high heel. There was a currency that was at work in my spirit at that time. Even though you can't see it, it's there. Just like the physical money Dege had was 5 naira, but he had what it takes to take him to the United States. It is only if you see the God that appears that you can tap into that currency, that provision. What seest thou? For Abraham, he saw a God that could raise the dead, a God that could call those things that be not as though they were. There are many things God has given you, but you can't see it because he has not appeared to you. Tonight, the prayer is simple. Because of time, we can't build further. I would have shown you what God did to a man, the man called Isaac, that in the midst of dry season, God told him to sow. No rain for a couple of years. He casted seed. He cultivated dry ground and planted. The Bible says in the same year, he reaped an hundredfold, and the Philistines, they envied him. You see, the reason why he was able to sow was because there was a way God appeared unto him. A new line of logic was formed. And the most natural thing to do after that line of logic was established was to sow in dry ground. Oh my. Oh my. May the Lord take away the web of limitations that have kept us on one spot, that has resisted us from seeing the power of our God. May the Lord take it away in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Elohim Enado.
We will pray and you. by the power.
By the power of your name.
And El Shaddai. El Shaddai. Elohim. And Adonai. Yeshua. You're still the same. By the power of your name. El Shaddai. Elohim and Adonai, I will praise and lift you high. And I will praise and lift you high. And I will praise, I will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. And I will praise, I will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. And I will praise, I will of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Oh, has God spoken to you? Did He show you His will in a dream or in a vision? And situations, devils, circumstances are standing to prove that which God has said a lie in your life. Oh, He was strong in faith. He gave glory to God. I will stagger not at the promises of God. I will be strong and faith, giving glory to God. For God is not a man that He should lie. It's not the son of man that He should repent. Oh, and leave you high. I will praise and lift you high. I will praise and lift you high. Yes, Shaddai. Yes, Shaddai. I will praise and lift you high. I will praise and lift you high. We want to give glory to God. One of the attitudes of faith is giving glory to God. The Bible says he was strong in faith, giving glory. In a moment of time, we want to give glory. And as we give glory, He will be pleased. Oh God. I will praise and lift you high. I will praise and lift you high.